Morning Watch, Romans, Week 1. Romans 1 through Romans 4. Thursday, Related Verses. Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 20. What then? Are we better? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. Even as it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands, there is none who seeks out God. All have turned aside, together they have become useless. There is none who does good, there is not so much as one. Their throat is an opened grave, with their tongues they practice deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Swift are their feet to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever things the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may fall under the judgment of God. Because out of the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified before him. For through the law is the clear knowledge of sin. Related reading. Now we come to the section on justification, a most significant doctrine. Martin Luther was raised up by God to wage a fierce battle over justification because it is such a great doctrine in the Bible. Although Luther contended for the truth of justification, we have to understand how justification relates to propitiation, redemption, and reconciliation. In this message, we shall cover all these terms and seek to make them clear. However, we first need to consider the righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God? We may say that the righteousness of God is what God is with respect to justice and rightness. God is just and right. Whatever God is in his justice and rightness constitutes his righteousness. Furthermore, all that God is in his justice and rightness is actually himself. Therefore, the righteousness of God is God himself. The righteousness of God is a person, not merely a divine attribute. Many Christians say incorrectly that they have the righteousness of Christ. We should not say this. Our righteousness is not the righteousness of Christ. It is Christ himself. Christ himself as a person, not his attribute of righteousness, has been made the righteousness of God to us. Do not say that the righteousness of Christ has become your righteousness. Instead, you should say, Christ is my righteousness. My righteousness before God is the living person of Christ, not an attribute. The righteous Christ is mine. God has made Christ, who is the very embodiment of God himself, our righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that the believers are made the righteousness of God in Christ. Paul does not say that the believers are made righteous. He says that they are made righteousness. We have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. This is a deep matter. How can we become the righteousness of God? By having Christ wrought into us. We have seen that Christ is the embodiment of God, and that God, as a living person, is righteousness. Therefore, righteousness, God, and Christ are one. The righteousness of God is God himself. Since this God is embodied in Christ, Christ is the righteousness of God. Christ has been wrought into us, and we have been put into Christ. We have been mingled together with Christ as one. Thus, we become the righteousness of God. Paul declares, "For to me to live is Christ." As Christ has been wrought into us, we can say with Paul, "For to me to live is Christ." Suppose we have a glass of water. Once tea has been blended with it, it no longer is plain water, it is tea. Likewise, once Christ has been wrought into us, we become one with him. The righteousness of God is not only God himself in his justice and rightness, and it is not only the living person of Christ. It is also we who have been made one with Christ. The living person of Christ, as God's righteousness, has been wrought into us, and we have been put into him. Therefore, we have been made the righteousness of God. We must proclaim, "I am the righteousness of God. I have been justified. God is righteous, and I am too. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am what God is. I am fully justified. God and I have been identified. I approve God, and he approves me. We mutually approve each other. This is justification by faith." Some may think we should not say that we approve God. Nevertheless, we must approve him. God likes to be judged and approved by us. Thus, we can say to God, "You approve us, and we approve you." What is justification? Justification is God's action in approving people according to his standard of righteousness. His righteousness is the standard, not ours. Although we think we are righteous, our righteousness is only a quarter inch high. Regardless of how righteous we are, or how righteous we think we are, our righteousness is just a fraction of an inch high. How high is God's righteousness? It is unlimited. Can you be approved by God's according to your own righteousness? This is impossible. Although you may be right with everyone, with your parents, your children, and your friends, your righteousness will never justify you before God. You may justify yourself according to your standard of righteousness, but that does not enable you to be justified by God according to his standard. We need justification by faith. Justification by faith before God means we are approved by God according to the standard of his righteousness. How can God do this? He can do it because our justification is based upon the redemption of Christ. When the redemption of Christ is applied to us, we are justified. If there were no such redemption, it would be impossible for us to be justified by God. Redemption is the basis of justification.